So we've already seen quite the ups and downs in Moses already, haven't we? I mean, think about it. He has been through his 40 years of training as second in command of Egypt. He's been through his 40 years on the backside of the desert, watching over his father-in-law's sheep. And then God called him through the burning bush. And it all seemed great until Moses began to make excuses as to why God should not use him. Remember? Four excuses. He finally agreed to go, and he and Aaron finally went, and they spoke to Pharaoh, and or actually initially spoke to Israel, the leaders, and they bowed their heads and they worshiped and they believed God, and all was good in the camp. And then they went to Pharaoh, as we saw, and Pharaoh refused, as God warned them he would. And not only did Pharaoh make their lives tougher, but then the Jews blamed Moses and Aaron and got angry with them. And Moses' way of responding to that, rather than trusting God, was to come back to God and say, "Lord, you didn't deliver your people, and why did you send me?" Even though God had already told him that it wouldn't happen immediately, but it would happen. And, you know, it just, here in chapter 6, we see the mercy of God, because if we were God, we would have been pretty angry with Moses at the end of chapter 5, wouldn't we? Especially when he said there, verse 22 of chapter 5, "Why is it that thou hast sent me?" And then verse 23, "Since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." In other words, "Lord, you didn't do it in the timing that I expected you to do it. Why did you send me?" Things got worse rather than better. By the way, that happens a lot in the Christian life when we're growing. And again, if we were God, we would have been pretty angry with Moses. God didn't even address it. I love it. We get to chapter 6. God doesn't even touch it. He doesn't answer his questions. He just goes forward and, as you'll see, encourages Moses. So notice here, verse 1. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I've remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord." And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land." And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I've just simply titled it tonight, "I Will," as you'll see. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word now in our hearts as we seek to serve you, Lord. May we continue to learn from the life of Moses. Lord, that you promised to be with us, but you never promised that we wouldn't face resistance or trials. And may we learn to trust you through the trials. And may we learn tonight that you are amazing, that you are powerful, and that you are with us. So speak to us through your precious word. We give you the time in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that word now in verse 1. Moses finished it by saying, Lord, why'd you send me? Lord, you didn't deliver your people. God didn't even touch it. He said, now. Now that you've faced your first resistance, now that Pharaoh said no, now that Israel has lost their faith, which they apparently had at the end of chapter 4 and bowed their heads in worship, now, Moses, I want you to wait and you will see. I'm going to carry out what I said I would do. You're going to see great things. And then he encouraged Moses by sharing his name, his Jehovah, his covenant, reminding them or saying that he remembers his covenant. And then he shares there in verses 6 through 8 what he will do. It's quite beautiful. So let's start there with the name. He says there to Moses, verse 3, I appeared unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. The Hebrew is El Shaddai. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it the way a Hebrew speaker would. But El Shaddai reveals the omnipotence of God, that he's all sufficient, that he's a nourisher, that he's a strength giver, God Almighty. But now he says, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, a lot of people say, we don't understand this verse, because when you go back and read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it's Jehovah speaking. Yes, but that was written later by Moses. So we don't have God introducing himself as Jehovah to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when Moses went back and wrote, through the inspiration of God, the book of Genesis, it was Jehovah speaking. But they only knew him at that time as El Shaddai. Now he says, I want to tell you my most important name. Jehovah is a English transliteration of a Hebrew word that none of us can pronounce, which some people try to say Yahweh. It's just don't try. Let's just say that. But it is his most prominent and most powerful name in Scripture. The King James translators are very good to us, that whenever we see all caps L-O-R-D in English, that is their way of telling us that the Hebrew word is Jehovah. If you see him called Lord with not all caps, then it's going to be one of the other names of God. El Shaddai Adonai. But whenever you see all caps, and by the way, it is the most prominent name in the Old Testament, Jehovah means strength, it means love, it means self-existence. And if you go to Proverbs 18:10, there's a beautiful verse here about his name. I love this verse. This verse is a sermon in and of itself. Look what it says, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. God is telling us that when you feel threatened, when you feel like you aren't safe, maybe you're afraid, God says the place to run to is to the name of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? It's a strong tower. It's a safe place to go, to flee to the name of the Lord. And so it's important that we know God's names. And we did a little short study on it in Sunday school a few months ago. But do one for yourself. Look at the compound Jehovah names of God. Look at the other Hebrew names of God. Like I said, Adonai and El Shaddai and others. Even just the name El and what it means. Or Elohim, sorry, is another one. That's the first name of God in the Bible, which is the plural name. But each name reveals more about God's character, about God's power, about God's love. God says that's a safe place to run. The righteous runneth into it, into what? The name of the Lord, which is a strong tower and is safe. And God here is encouraging Moses. He says, I hear you, Moses, but I'm not going to respond. I am Jehovah. I am everything. I'm the creator. I am self-existent. I don't need anything. I have everything. I've always been. I always will be. And I am the one that is calling you to go and rescue my people. I am Jehovah. And so he starts by encouraging them with his name. Hallelujah. Then verse 4, and I've also established my covenant. So then he reminds Moses, not only am I giving you my most powerful name, the name Jehovah, but I'm telling you that I've not forgotten the covenant that I made centuries ago when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were wandering through what is now the Promised Land. I told them that one day I would give it their land as inheritance. And I've not forgotten that covenant. He calls it there the land of their pilgrimage. Back in those days, they didn't realize until God told them that one day that would be the nation of Israel. Because at that time it was the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and all the ites. But God said, I'm going to give it to you. And I've not forgotten this covenant. Way back Genesis 15, 18, we'll look there. God reminded Abraham, or at this point Abram, that he will keep his covenant or his promise. Notice Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. This is Genesis 15, 18, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Isn't that beautiful? The way he worded that, he didn't say, unto thy seed will I give this land. He said, unto thy seed, I've already given this land. Those are two different things, aren't they? In other words, it's already theirs. They may not be living there yet. They may not have moved in there yet, but it's already theirs. And folks, it's true with us as well. Heaven's already ours. Amen. We may not be there yet, but it's already ours. The victorious Christian life, it's already ours. God's already given it to us. We just need to go live it. When Jesus was about to leave, he looked at his disciples. He says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's my promise to you, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so God is encouraging Moses, saying, Moses, here is my most powerful name, the name Jehovah. Moses, verse 5 of our passage, I have remembered my covenant. You know, God always keeps his promises. But one thing about God keeping his promises is the timing. We want God to keep them in our timetable, don't we? That's what we see in Moses. Lord, you said you would deliver your people. You haven't done it yet. Why is it taking so long? Well, first we got to do the 10 plagues, Moses. Be patient. And Moses said, you haven't delivered my people yet. Well, that's because it's going to happen, but it's going to happen in my timing, and it's going to happen my way. And Christians are like that, saying, Lord, you haven't answered my prayer. Lord, you haven't kept your promise. He will, but in his timing and in his way. And he's teaching Moses this because you think the 40 years in the desert is going to be easy? No. So he's encouraging him with his name, the name Jehovah, encouraging him by reminding him, I have not forgotten my promise to my people Israel. But then, to me, that one of the greatest encouragements is verses 6 through 8, where seven times God uses the phrase, I will. Let's look at it. Verse 6 of Exodus 6. So, God here, remember, he's encouraging Moses, who is a bit discouraged. He needs lifted up. He needs encouraged. He needs empowered, if you will. So, verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched down arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Isn't that good? Not, I'm going to think about it. Not, I might do this. Moses, I will do this. Here's my name. I remember the covenant. And by the way, this is what I'm going to do. So let's walk through these things. First of all, I'm going to rescue you from the burden of Egypt, he says there in verse 6. But we know what Egypt represents. It represents the world. It represents sin. So for you and I as Christians, God promised to what? Rescue us from the burden of sin. Amen? And aren't you thankful that he did? That the day you were saved, you were rescued. You became a new creature. You became separate from God. You became sanctified. Then he says in verse 7, and I will rid you out of their bondage. So God not only rescues us from the burden of sin, God rescues us and rids us of the bondage of sin. And those are two different things. The bondage of sin, of course, is what Satan, he holds on to us until we're saved. And we're bound by sin. Sin rules our lives. God breaks those chains, doesn't he? He breaks us free of the bondage of sin. We're told in Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin and from the burden of sin. Then in verse 7, and I will redeem you. At this point, they don't even know what that word means, like we know what it means. And of course, we know God's going to use blood to do it, isn't he? The blood of the Lamb, the innocent Lamb. And our Redeemer has redeemed us with the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So I will rescue you from the burden of sin. I will rid you from the bondage of sin. I will redeem you. And then verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people and will be to you a God. I am going to adopt you into my family. And he does the same for us. Amen? As many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So God rescues us from the burden of sin. He rids us of the bondage of sin. He redeems us through the blood of the Lamb. And he adopts us into his family. And then lastly, verse 7, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land, under the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. And God does the same for us, doesn't he? He says, I'm not only going to rescue you from the burden of sin, I'm not only going to rescue you from the bondage of sin, I'm not only going to redeem you and make you one of my children, bring you into my family, but I'm going to give you a heritage. A new home, a new place to live one day. I'm going to give you a victorious life. That's the heritage of the servants of the Lord, the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17. Verse 8, I am the Lord. You know, that should be enough, shouldn't it? There's all caps, by the way, so it's Jehovah. I am the Lord. That was pretty powerful, wouldn't you say? Here's my name. I am Jehovah. I have not forgotten my covenant. And by the way, Moses, here's five things I'm going to do. I will do these things. And Moses, verse 9, spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not. No faith in the midst of trials. How many times does the devil do this in our lives? Yes, I believe God. He's so good. He saved me from hell. And then a big trial comes and we lose our faith. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. God is not being fair to me. I don't know why God's allowing this. And we, just like Israel, we lose our faith. We cannot react to trials. We must trust through trials. The devil wants us to react. God wants us to trust. Amen? And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 10, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of this land. This is where Moses should have said, okay, Lord, I'm going. I hear you. You're Jehovah. I hear you. You've not forgotten your promise to your people. I hear you promised to do all these things for us. But instead, he said, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? Reminding God about his speech impediment from chapter 3. In other words, Lord, I hear what you're saying, but if the children of Israel won't listen, why would Pharaoh listen? Isn't it exciting that God didn't get angry here? Because if we were God, we would have gotten angry right here, but he didn't. I just like how he finishes at verse 13. The Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, and gave them a charge. Just go. Stop complaining. Stop arguing. Stop whining. And go. And thankfully, he went. But not without reminding God, I'm of uncircumcised lips. And by the way, Israel wouldn't listen, so why would Pharaoh listen? Just go, Moses. I'm God. I'm Jehovah. I'm all-powerful. I'm self-existent. And this is what I'm going to do. It will happen. Just be patient. Trust me. And go. Isn't it amazing how different this Moses is from the Moses that we see later on? When we get to the Jordan River, and they go into the Promised Land, that's a totally different Moses than what we're seeing here. Yeah, he was meek, but that's no excuse for not trusting God, is it? So he's got some learning to do. He's got some growing to do. But it should have been enough when God said, I am Jehovah, and I am with you. I've made a promise to you and my people. I'm going to keep it. And by the way, here's what I'm going to do. And you know what God says to us as Christians? You're in my family now. I'm on your side. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever comes into your life, I'm with you. So what should our response always be? I trust you. Not, oh, woe is me, Lord. Oh, this trial's too heavy. Oh, it's too much. Why did you? No. That's not our place to be that way. Just trust. Because the same Jehovah that worked these plagues is the same Jehovah that saved us and the same Jehovah that indwells us. Amen? We are so blessed. So God says to Moses and Israel, as he says to us, I will do all these things in your life. So let me do it. Watch me do it. Trust me. He never promised there wouldn't be resistance. He never promised there wouldn't be trials along the way. But he did promise he would do it. Amen. I will. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this lesson from the life of Moses. I pray we'll learn from it, Lord, that you have promised to be with us and to guide us and to protect us and to grow us and never leave us nor forsake us. And, Lord, may we never allow the devil or the flesh to trick us into complaining or moaning or stop trusting you when the trials come, and they will. But to believe that we serve the same Jehovah that is speaking in this passage and that you are on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I pray that that would be the way we live our lives, by trusting you no matter what comes our way. And believing your promises.